Okay, then 88. A wise man should strive to restrain his organs, which run wild among alluring sensual objects, like a charioteer his horses. Those 11 organs which former sages have named, I will properly and precisely enumerate in due order.
It's like Upadeshamrita.
It's also interesting is that you must restrain the senses. So then what are the senses? Mm-hmm. Then how do the senses work? So then you get all these things, and then many times, because there's so much detail, then you think it's talking a different subject. All it's talking about is that the Brahman must control the senses, but then you have to know what the senses are, how they work to control them.
Mm-hmm.
90. So the ear, the skin, the eyes, the tongue, and the nose as the fifth. The anus, the organ of generation, hands, feet, and the organ of speech, named as the tenth. Five of them, the ear and the rest, according to their order, they call organs of sense. And five of them, the anus and the rest, organs of action. Know that the internal organ, manas, is the 11th, which by its quality belongs to both sets. When that has been subdued, both those sets of five have been conquered. That is, when you conquer the mind, you conquer the senses.
Mm.
Through the attachment of his organs to sensual pleasure, a man doubtlessly will incur guilt. But if he keeps them under complete control, he will obtain success in gaining all his aims. It's interesting, because even in business, it's understood, unless you control your senses, you can't do good business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So whatever you want, unless you control the senses, you aren't going to get it. You know? When you get good at music, you have to control the senses, practice. You know, power, then you have to control the senses, and work, knowledge, yeah. It means in all, every, you have to control the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you don't get a whole lot. It means this, the animals don't control their senses, but we don't see them building, you know, generally great places, great empires, and, you know, a lot of development. But those that do have that kind of like discipline, then they have like ants, they can bring build their whole kingdoms and things like that, because there's some regimentation of bees. They have that regimentation. You know, somebody's in charge and somebody follows, and you know, so to that degree that they do that, to that degree you have. You know, some animals are just like free, like tigers. They don't, you know, but then you have other animals that move in groups. So that means there is a leader, follower, there's some discipline, like that. Desire is never extinguished by the enjoyment of desired objects. It only grows stronger, like a fire fed with clarified butter. If one man should obtain all those sensual enjoyments and another should renounce them all, the renunciation of all pleasure is far better than the attainment of them. Those organs which are strongly attached to sensual pleasure cannot so effectively be restrained by abstinence from enjoyments as by a constant pursuit of true knowledge. Okay, so here's so of the two, one who obtains and one who renounces, the one who renounces is better. That's why in the Vedic system, the whole hierarchy respect is main element is renunciation of the ashrams, and it's the detachment. And then also the varnas is the detachment. You know, one may say, well, okay, I can understand, but it seems that there's it seems that, well, the Vaishya has more, and then more than that the Kshatriya has, and then okay, the Brahmin has nothing. I can understand that. So the Brahmin would be better than the others. But why is the Kshatriya Vaishya? So the Vaishya means the Shudra, he can only do how much he can do with himself. You know? Like that, how much is there. Otherwise his attainments aren't so great. But to do the business, there must be more self-constraint. You know, in the mentality, must be more focused. Like that. The Kshatriya, then, more focused still, and what he has is for the betterment of the kingdom. Because he'll walk out of that. It's not so often you see Vaishyas, after building up a big business empire, will just walk out when they're 50 years old. But the Kshatriya can walk out with nothing, not even taking a little bit of security with him. Vaishya can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So he is more renounced.
Mm.
Though he needs more facility for his service, but it's simply for the service.
Mm.
Like that.
Yeah.
And then... And then the Brahman, then because he doesn't need much for his service, plus his mentality is more detached.
Mm.
Means the Shudra is basically working for himself. The Vaishya works for himself, but he gives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Shudra technically doesn't have to give anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he generates, if he does farming, you know, farms his own plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a farmer, he's not a Vaishya.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a Shudra because he can do that particular art of agriculture, but only what he can do himself personally.
Mm-hmm.
Then, since he's generating economic development, he has to pay tax,
mm-hmm.
like that. But if he's working for a farmer,
right.
he doesn't have to pay.
Right.
Like that, the farmer has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. In other words, whoever generates money has to pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic principle. So. Basically, only Vaishyas should be doing that, you know.
Mm.
That's the main general principle. Nowadays, because everybody's, like, generating something or gaining, so then they may all be paying tax. Like that. I mean, the way they would do it in the Vedic system is that the money that the people are having to pay is tax. They wouldn't pay as tax. That would stay with it. It means, let us say someone gets $1,000. As his paycheck, he and 200 of that goes in tax,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Vaishya just pays his tax on the business,
mm-hmm.
like that. The Vedic thing would be is the person that works for the Vaishya, he would get only 800 rupees and pay no tax,
mm-hmm.
and that 200 rupees of tax would be paid by the Vaishya,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what would be happening. So it just changes the mentality. Because it creates so much anxiety for the common person, to the taxes and balancing and this and that. It's an area that's not so natural to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to do it, they learn to do it, but it doesn't come so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But for the businessmen, they already have accountants, this, that, for them to, you know, they're already going to pay tax anyway. So then for them to pay instead of, you know, paying less and then the people pay it, they pay
mm-hmm.
pay more and the people don't pay it. I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't lose any more.
Mm-hmm.
The person doesn't gain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he can say, well, instead of getting 1,000, I get only 800, but he only gets 800 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the businessman then, you know, like that. So, and it's the businessman who's supposed to be the one taking care of his dependents.
Mm-hmm.
So then if they have all this, like, provident fund and other things like that, or Social Security, where money is put away for the older, that would come straight from the business
mm-hmm.
and could be credited to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they're working for him, their money goes into there, and then if he goes and works for someone else, then it would be given by them.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing would be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of who's doing it.
Right.
That's the thing, because it changes the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it changes the mentality.
Vaishya becomes more fatherly.
Yeah, more fatherly, and the other becomes more dependent and more
respectful,
loyal. There's mm-hmm. more of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it's that. The businessman, okay, I've given you money, now don't bother me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then for Shudras, I'm more independent.
Mm-hmm.
So it just breaks down the system. The same money would be
mm-hmm.
going to the government. You know,
mm-hmm.
same money would be going for the retirement of the persons.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't go through their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So the renunciation is more as it goes up. We'll be here at 9. Okay, very good. Then, so now of the two, renunciation is better than attaining the sensual desire. So this is the principle, and this has to be understood. And this can never, never, never be doubted or compromised.
Mm.
It's very important.
Mm.
But with this, then comes the next verse. Those organs which are strongly attached.
Mm.
You know, it's just mentioning we have a desire, and I attain that.
Mm.
And I have a desire, but I renounce that.
Mm.
Renunciation is better than attainment.
Mm-hmm.
But now it says strongly attached. So then it says, cannot so effectively be restrained by abstinence from enjoyments as by constant pursuit of true knowledge. So in this case, then the renunciation of it isn't the thing that's going to keep. Now, how do you gain that renunciation? You gain it by knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge then is the sword by which you cut.
Mm-hmm.
Just the vritta itself or the determinate, that's not.
Mm-hmm.
That must be there, but it must be combined with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then sometimes it'll be said, you know, it's too much. We see, you know, sannyasis and they're falling down, and the brahmacharis are not real brahmacharis, not all this, that. But those who say this aren't real grihasthas.
Mm-hmm.
They're not real grihasthas. Because the purpose of grihastha life is to come to that same platform. The purpose of grihastha life is to become a sannyasi.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has tried doing that, you know, already, that is respected. If mm-hmm. they don't make it, okay, then they need to get to that point through the grihastha ashram.
Mm-hmm.
But to just say that they are not means we don't understand what the grihastha ashram is for.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you wouldn't say they're not, you would say prematurely they accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Because the concept is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The desire to obtain that is also perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just the person misjudged his own attachments.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore it was premature, and so now, okay, it's unfortunate and all that, but they did try, whatever. Now they're rightly situated,
mm-hmm.
and then we encourage them. But otherwise they tried, they fell, now, you know, they're finished, they never take sannyasa, and this, that, so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that means there's some idea of that the morality is the main thrust, rather than the detachment from the material world. Because
mm-hmm.
morality means we're still attached to the material world.
Mm-hmm.
We're attached to good.
Mm-hmm.
We're averse to bad. That's natural for a pious living entity. But if you think that's the goal, then we become proud of our piety. We become proud of our sense control. And then we see that from there one will fall. So one fell gross, the other will fall subtle. And from that subtle it will become gross, either this life or next. You know, this life or that. Because a miserly Brahmin, you know, in his mentality, kripana, in his next life, he won't be elevated. He will go down.
Mm-hmm.
He will get a situation that matches his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It doesn't. So.
So, somebody that can't do the renunciation, because his knowledge is not fully realized, but by going through the ashram,
yeah,
then the realization comes, then he can cut.
Yeah, then he can cut. So it's the experience, the knowledge of it. But it's not just the experience of it. Otherwise, if it was the experience of it, then you would see the whole Western world would take
mm-hmm.
sannyas,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because they're roasted.
Mm-hmm.
Men are roasted with the women with the men.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's just that the relationship is just so rough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each one is just vying so strongly for what they want without much consideration of the other, and no control of the senses, this, that, they're roasted. But they don't have any knowledge, so they don't see an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, well, it was this one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one will be okay. Or mm-hmm. it was this situation. If we change the situation, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like that. So it's these things are... Yeah.
Jnana vairagyena cha griyate. Knowledge and renunciation. Is that?
Yeah.
So
renunciation. So that, yeah, jnana and vairagyena. Prabhupada said you can tell one's advancement by that.
Yeah.
He's up to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. From Brahma-Bhuta on, then it's not jnana and vairagya.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's devotion.
Because mm-hmm.
jnana and vairagya are attained at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get any, as such, get any more, really.
Mm-hmm.
Means
mm-hmm.
subtly.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see any physical... In dealing with the material world, you're not going to see any difference.
Right.
You're going to see in the spiritual platform.
Mm-hmm.
You give up your own spiritual desires for liberation and
mm-hmm.
please Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say it's more.
Mm-hmm.
Renunciation is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowledge of your rasa with Krishna means that you act within it. You know, so it doesn't take the form of jnana and vairagya.
Even the jnana is lost?
Yeah, the jnana is lost. Once it goes to Vaikuntha, it remains. But it has to be covered a little bit. Means that even in Vaikuntha, there still has to be the influence of Yogamaya. It still has to be. Mm. Otherwise, then if we're talking about just pure awe and reverence, and we see it in the Gita with Arjuna and the universal form, mm. there's no rasa going on there at all, mm-hmm. except fear.
Mm-hmm.
So for the service to come means there must be pleasant appreciation and then wanting to interact so that you actually have the confidence that you could interact with God and serve God.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you see him as the greatest of the great. You can't go near him. Like that. So that fear of his greatness and our smallness, that has to be covered to some degree, enough just to create that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cover it a little bit more, then you get the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Cover it a little bit more, then you the vatsal, you cover it a little bit more, you get the madhurya.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be. Mm-hmm. And then in madhurya, then you cover, if it's, you just attain madhurya, then you have the, what do you call it? The swakya.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You cover it more, then you have the parakya. And then you cover it more, then you get the left wing gopis. You cover it more than that, then you get Radharani's camp. More than that, then her most intimate. And then you cover it the most, then you have Srimati Radharani. So it's just that yoga maya has to be there. Otherwise, one will interact. Does that make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, like that. But still there's some knowledge there. The knowledge is there up to Dwarka, up to Mathura, the knowledge is there. And in Vrindavan, it's like, it's not, they don't care. It's not an important element.
Sometimes it comes out there.
Comes out, but it's used just for the rasa.
Mm-hmm.
It's used, Like, you'll see them joke with knowledge, And they know all the rasas, like the astasattvika bhavas, the ecstatic symptoms. So then Madhu Mangal starts discussing those at lunch one day, at the meal, and says, I've studied these shastras, and so according to authority, I'm not sure if he mentions Bharat. He may mention Bharat. He says in his opinion there are 8. Sattvika bhavas. But in my study, I found there's only 6. When I see the wonderful preparations of food, then, my hairs stand on end. When I taste them, I become stunned. And like this, he just goes through the whole thing. They know the knowledge, but they just use it for fun, Like that. It's just part of the, like the gopis, they know all the whole astrological science, but that's not of major importance. It's only used that then who's stolen Krishna's flute? So then Krishna has to go through the order of the nakshatras and like that. No, it's with Chitra. No, it's gone with this one. And they all have their different names, and they all correspond to these different aspects, or they say the nakshatra and that name will have be similar to what their name is, have the same meaning, the synonym. And this way Krishna, goes from one to the next, So they're just going through the zodiac, like this, going through that whole thing. So they just use it in their pastimes. But it doesn't have an end unto itself. No. Everything is simply meant for Krishna, nothing else. Not one thing different. But in the material world, then you take it very seriously. So we use it as a tool to cut our attachment to the material world. We're so attached to the world because of our senses and our knowledge of the world and how to move the world. See? It's like this. You teach... See, two things can happen. You have a person. You can teach the brahmachari what is the relationships or the elements that make a marriage work. Right? Two things can happen. Means if we're talking pious reactions. We don't want to get the unlimited perversion. Two things will happen. One is the brahmachari is not afraid of it. And he sees it as a favorable means for his advancement. He will enter grihastha life. The other brahmachari will hear all this. He knows how it works, and that's just too freaky for him. He remains a brahmachari. Like that. So the nice sticker, same training is both. You can take a room full of brahmacharis who don't quite know what they're coming or going. Train them in what grihastha life is, how it is, what are the relationships. It means the emotional platform and duties. Only that platform. Because that's actually what the ashram is based on. You know? It's not based on the sensual side. It's based on that. So then you'll see that the whole room starts to divide. The mentalities. You start seeing from a homogeneous mass of not knowing where they're going, where they're coming from. Suddenly you have those who see that, yeah, the marriage and that, and they're starting to work with it. That's not so bad. Yeah, I could relate to that. And others, it's like they're pulling back and you can just see them. It means, in other words, you see some of them getting older and mature, and some of them going, becoming more childlike, depending upon which way they understood it. Like that. So the same training trains both. And then, from there, then you get into the details. That, then you don't mix them. Then you get into the nitty-gritties of the household life, which is, that's done with other grihasthas and like that who are experienced. And then nitty-gritties of brahmachari life, that's done with other brahmacharis, sannyasis, and like that. You know? But basically what's been happening, we've been doing those things to some degree in the society, you know, at least the heavy, so, you know, brahmachari lectures, but we haven't been doing the balancing that with the grihasthas learning the techniques of how to survive that ashram. And there's been basically nothing talking about, Prabhupada always does. Prabhupada always presents that middle. But it's somehow or another taken to one extreme or the other, rather than this is the general, and from the same point you can get. So like in the astrology, that the same yoga is that creates that someone can do very well with women and interface with them very well is the same yoga that is also for sannyas. You know? Is if you can understand them, you can also reject them. Well, understand means how to work. Means the full understanding. Prabhupada says men will never understand women, women will never understand men. You know, fully. They're just, they're different species. But if they understand, if they learn the Vedic culture, then they know enough to make it work. Then they can relate to each other. You know? Like, let's say you have somebody in their horse. They're two different species. How they think, how they do, what their values is different. But if you know how to deal with the horse, then you can do so many things with them. Like that. It doesn't mean that their mentalities have changed. You just learn to be sensitive. Like this. So in here, your sensitivity is just going one way. The human is being sensitive to the animal. And the animal is becoming, how you say, you know, reconditioned that they can deal with the humans. But there's no sensitivity from the horse's side, really. But so the marriage means is both are sensitive to the other. Like that, so then both are able to work together. Like that, the sensitivity must be there in both parties. Okay, so that's, so here is that by knowledge, and 97, neither the study of the Vedas nor liberality nor sacrifices nor any self-imposed restraint nor austerities ever procure the attainment of rewards to a man whose heart is contaminated by sensuality. Means if the desire is so strong for sense gratification, then none of these things one can gain. You can't actually get the goal of the study of the, you know, giving in charity, sacrifices, austerities. None of these, so you can ever get the results if the senses are not controlled. So the point is the senses must be controlled. Like that. And you're going to do that through knowledge. You know? I mean, it's not just, you know, grit your teeth and like this, but you have to actually know what is going on. That man may be considered to have really subdued his organs, who on hearing and touching and seeing, on tasting and smelling anything, neither rejoices nor repines. Repines means he very much wants it. You know? It's a nice word. Repines. You know that? Like when you pine for something, means you're always remembering and all that. So it's I guess repines must mean again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So here, this is the point, is that you hear about these things and you have no interest, right? Then one needs not deal with them.
Mm.
One hears about them and is not afraid of them. Then he may deal with them, but on dealing with them, he is neither happy or attached.
Mm.
Like that. I mean, overly happily or overly distressed. It's just he's. Oh no, here he's using rejoices, repine. So pine, maybe repine.
Repulsed.
Yeah, repulsed is the opposite of pining. Yeah, repulsed. Okay. Yeah, like reject. Okay.
He's not attached.
Yeah, he's not attached, not averse.
Doing his beauty?
Yeah, so it's just this part of the duty. Like that. Okay. 99. But when one amongst all the organs slips away from control, thereby man's wisdom slips away from him, even as the water flows through the one open foot of a water carrier's skin.
Yeah.
Means the water carrier, I'm not sure if probably makes a point or if it's a Hindu point or something like that. So you have the pig, when it's alive, the swine herd, then they keep the place clean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then when the pig dies, then they skin it and then they make these sacks, these water bags that they fill up with water and use it for cleaning the drains and stuff. So generally what happens is you sew the whole thing back up so it still kind of looks like a pig. And then you tie the feet,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that holds water. And then somewhere out the nose or the tail or something like that, one of those is then that is used for when you want to let the sack out. So they hang it on their shoulder under their arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can direct it by how much water they want to flow, by how hard they push on it with their elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can wash the drains. You know, they've swept it nicely and swept out all the heavy stuff. Then they go back and wash it with these skins.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, so it's like, you know, the pig's always doing, yeah, it's like a bagpipe. Yeah. But, you know. So it's pointing out here is that you have the main places there, you've got everything there, but one of the legs is open.
Yeah.
The water will go out.
Yeah.
You know. So in the same way as if one of the senses is not controlled, the person's knowledge is going to go out to that one.
Yeah.
It'll be lost to that one. So like Ravana, he was knowledgeable like anything, but he had this one attachment. Right? He became attached to someone else's wife.
Yeah.
And then from that he lost everything.
Mm.
Like that. He couldn't see what was going on.
Mm.
Even though everyone was telling him. His own brother was telling him, his mother was saying, his father was saying, everybody was saying.
Even his heads were saying.
Yeah, even his other nine heads were saying, you know. But he couldn't catch it.
Mm.
Because his knowledge had gone out by that.
Mm.
He could still do his yajnas, chant his mantras and manage and do all these things.
Mm.
But because of that, then everything else is lost. It's all lost. 100. If he keeps all the 10 organs as well as the mind in subjection, he may gain all his aims without reducing his body by the practice of yoga. Let him stand during the morning twilight muttering the Savitri until the sun appears, but let him recite it seated in the evening until the constellations can be seen distinctly. So in the morning, generally when they would do their japa, which they're doing quite a bit, they would do in the morning until,
the sun rises.
Until the sun appears. So that means from the point of the Arunodaya, is when the red is in the sky, you can still see the stars, that's the best time to start chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's doing a lot of japa, we only do 10, so I mean it's over in a few minutes, but if someone is doing, that is their japa.
Mm-hmm.
Means the big one that he would do from there up to when the sun rises. So if you start at that up to the sun rises, that's the best. You get in the most and the most concentration. If you start at that, Ushodoy, means the light is up. It's not red anymore. It's quiet, but the sun's not up. That's next best. And if one chants it at Suryodoy, then that one's not going to get a whole lot of chanting in. That's so when the stars are still in the sky, and then it's the opposite for the
evening,
because when the stars appear, means it's the pink and all that's gone, the sanya is over. So chanting at that time is not as good as starting before, like that. So in the morning, always wondering what the people in who listen to these tapes must think, you know, going along, and there's frogs and there's jackals and dogs and all kinds of things happening. I think we're sitting out in the jungle or something, you know.
Yeah, watch out for the crocs. You know.
Okay, so then, so then in the morning, it says one should stand. Means because in the morning one tends to fall asleep. Like that. So if one is tired in the morning chanting Gayatri, one can stand and chant it. And then the evening is said one should sit. Why? Because it all makes everyone gets up. That's when all the end of the day, you see the evening and the end going wild. All the birds are chirping, the animals are running around, everybody's like going nuts, you know? Like that. So it's too much energy from the end of the day, you know? Like that. So then the mode of passion is just finishing up. It's control of the day. Pitta. What do you call it? Bile. That's the end of its time of the day. And then kapha starts. You know? Like that, mucus. So then it's like one gets all. So it says, so therefore one should sit. Because otherwise one is too wired, yeah. Like that. He who stands during the morning twilight, muttering the savitri, removes the guilt contracted during the previous night. But he who recites it seated in the evening destroys the sin he committed during the day. But he who does not worship standing in the morning nor sitting in the evening shall be excluded, just like a Shudra, from all the duties and rites of the Aryan. Like that. Because his concentration won't be there. The principle is his concentration must be there. So by doing this, that's the technique during the evening. Sitting help, standing in the morning. Awake and all this. One can stay. But the point of that and concentrate, then it's not that important. But these are the techniques. This is what's expected. Then 104. He who desires to perform the ceremony of the daily recitation may even recite the savitri near water, retiring into the forest, controlling his organs and concentrating his mind. Okay. He who desires to perform the ceremony of the daily recitation. I'm not sure if here the daily means. Here it's like whether this is talking about the noon Gayatri or in the three sandhyas means it can be done also near water or in the forest. See, because tendency is you'll do it in your place, where is your seat. But even better than that is doing it out in a, you know, peaceful place, like out in the natural environment. You know, better than that is near in water, because the water makes the nerves peaceful. And better than that is in front of the deities. Like that. Like that. That's the best. So these are the concentrating the senses, and point is controlling sea, but options based mind. That's what you want to get. So that could be one, and then here in a footnote it mentions that even he is unable to recite other Vedic texts if he just says the Gayatri. Then he gets the benefit of all that.
Is that why you build pukkhas by the school? Does it help the mind become peaceful?
That is part of, but pukkhas next to the school is, they do, one is you have a place to take bath, you know, very easily. It's Y2K compliant. Then it is, low arsenic. Another is that then it's a place of recreation. third thing is by digging a hole in the ground, you get lots of dirt to raise all the other places of land, so you're not sitting in a swamp. You know? Yeah, it makes the place very beautiful, and according to Vastu, if it's put in the right place, then that gives, you know, it's very, very good. You know, the northeast, east, northeast, north, like that should be very open, so bodies of water do that very nicely. Lowers the ground. Water sits there, it's very good. Like that. So therefore you'll take the dirt from that side, the northeast, and you'll throw it in the southwest, west, and south, like that. And then those places are high, that place is low, and that's good.
Does it apply in the southern hemisphere?
Mm-hmm.
Same way?
Yeah. According to Satish Chandra, it applies.
Yeah, it applies. It's still the same mandala.
Because the sun's on the opposite side in the southern hemisphere.
Does the sun rise in the east?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it applies.
If you face north at midday, then you're facing the sun. Otherwise, yeah, if you're facing south at midday, you're facing the sun.
Yeah. There's some of the disadvantages of being on that side. I guess that's why Ravana picked that side. Yeah. Also, what's his name? His brother?
Kumbhakarna.
Yeah. Brazil, that side down. You know, it's also kind of on the...
It's also the planets. It's not just the sun, it's the other planets as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So like Mars rules the south.
Yeah,
and, you know, Jupiter rules the north. And those are also... But they have their places all through the building. So if you just consider, you know, which way the sun is at midday, whether it's north or south, but the other planets also have their considerations.
Because they're always moving, so it's the influence on which place they have to control. You know? It's just like wherever we may be in the country, in the north or the south, you still have the, you know, central government, and you have a minister there, and he controls that particular aspect, no matter where we are. Like that. That's. I wonder if just Mayamata would apply better down there. Vishwakarma.
Maybe Vasta Purusha's.
Yeah, because then he's facing up instead of down. Because the Dhyanika, you go to the lower planets, they see the sun, they'll be looking up to it. I mean, it'll be in the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The demigods, it'll be, you know, the guy to the south and the other to the north. Because they're higher up. That's an interesting point. Maybe we should drop that one on Satish Sharma and see what he says. Says it happened.
We asked him something like that, and he said that he's proven somehow that Vastu principles apply all over the world.
Well, that's there. The Vastu principles would apply. I'm just saying, is if one would lean towards was the demon's interpretation of it instead of the demigods, when you cross, you know, out of the realm of
area of Vaitavarsha.
Yeah. When you go south of that, if you consider like that. Because you see the people are very different in those areas. Very different.
Like the native people.
Yeah, the native people are very different.
And even the people that live there.
Yeah, like the very, very different. He's getting worried here. Hey, wait a minute. Both when he studies the supplementary treatises of the Veda and when he recites the daily portion of the Veda, no regard need to be paid to forbidden days. Likewise, when one repeats the sacred text required for a burnt oblation. Okay, so this is interesting. When one studies the supplementary treatises of the Veda, that means Sanskrit, then astrology, ritual, the Puranas, the Dharma Shastras, the logic, and philosophy, then one doesn't have to worry about the proper days and proper not improper days. Forbidden days, like certain days, just it's recommended not for study of the Veda itself, the Vedic texts, because the mind is just not fixed on those days. For this, but for anything else studying, there's no problem. Says the day. So, and when one recites the daily portion of the Veda, means for one's own particular Veda that one is from, then there's a portion that one chants every day. That's called Brahma Yajna. That's always done. Or if you're just reciting, how you say, what you've already learned, that's today's recitation. It means as you're learning, then for 10 days you're reciting a particular portion of the Veda. So that's your daily recitation. So those can be done. In other words, means you can study anything other than the Veda on the forbidden days. And the Veda itself, you can review and recite. You just shouldn't learn anything new on those days. That's what it means. And likewise, one repeats the sacred text required for a burnt oblation. In other words, the fire yagyas and all that, that doesn't go by the forbidden days like that.
What are?
Exactly. Generally, it's the first and the eighth. Are avoided. Some also worry about the day of the week. Some don't like Monday. Some don't like Wednesday. Some are a little sticky about, I think, full moon and new moon. Some about the 14th. But everybody, the 1st and the 8th.
That's Ekami Anastami.
The Pratipat Anastami. Pratipat Anastami. Like that. So those are avoided for learning new texts. In other words, those days are just for a revision.
Because it's hard to concentrate the mind on those.
You'll find, especially for those means. I think there's a verse. I haven't come across it yet, but I've read it before here, where those whose purpose is not karmakanda from studying the Veda. And they don't even have to bother with all these different forbidden days. And there's certain things that when you have to stop, like a frog jumps in between the students and the teacher, then you're supposed to stop the study for 24 hours until the next day, like that.
The students bring frogs in.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Then those students, you should stop the study for this lifetime. So I've watched it happen. Because you have quite a diverse group studying the mantras. Then I think it was time maybe when you were there. Yeah, it was when house 4 was still big and we cut the verandas back so we had classrooms at both ends. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Like that. And then out in the back on the eastern side, then I had that kind of raised chunk of mud that I'd sit on. And then the boys would, if it was small class, would sit on that, and if it was big class, they'd sit on the ground. So one day I was sitting up there, and all the boys were sitting on the ground, and sure enough, here comes the frog and hops right between us. And I noticed all the boys that weren't initiated, that was it. They couldn't concentrate at all. They were just gone. The boys who were, the class went on normal. Like that. So it has effects, just like the moon will affect, as seen as the uninitiated boys, then it affects them more. Or those who don't have good discipline, and like that, it affects them more. They get more energy and they're more enthusiastic and things prosper going from dark moon to full moon. And then when it goes from full moon to dark moon, they kind of lose their attention, they lose their enthusiasm, their mind starts to wander. It's like they're totally into what they're doing towards the full moon, then these considerations aren't so important. It's the rules that apply to, your cleanliness, your worship, your interaction with others, like that, those are made important. And these kind of restrictions that are because one is dependent upon the blessings of the material energy, like that, therefore you have to do things at the right time to get the proper result, those aren't important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, we're not dependent upon the forefathers, so that worship of forefathers is not important. We're not dependent upon the demigods, you know, we're dependent upon the Lord, because we please the Lord, the demigods are pleased. So therefore those considerations we don't have to do. You know? But let's say a consideration like, you know, when you plant your crops, you know, the plant itself is still very much absorbed in material energy. So if you plant it at the proper times, the phases of the moon and the seasons, it grows very nicely. You plant it in the wrong season. I may say, oh, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care about the rules, so we'll plant a summer crop in the middle of winter. You're not going to get any fruit. Or a winter crop in the summer, you're not going to get any result.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the conditioning of that plant.
Right.
So in the same way as if we are, depending upon how much we're conditioned to that degree, then we are affected by the material energy.
Mm-hmm.
We become affected.
That's a good example.
Then, there are no forbidden days for the daily recitation, since that is declared to be a Brahma Satra, everlasting sacrifice offered to Brahman, Brahma Yajna. Like that. At that, the Veda takes the place of the burnt oblations. It means by performing the Brahma Yajna, you get the benefit of the, you know, the sacrifice, the yajnas.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means someone can do a daily recitation and not do a yajna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so then, and then for us, then more important is the chanting or shlokas and hearing Bhagavatam and all that. So the daily recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, these are like that. Therefore, we don't have to do the yajna. It's done. The benefits are already accrued. And it is meritorious even when natural phenomena requiring a cessation of the Veda study take place of the explanation of Vashat. Okay. Means to hear the, how you say? Yeah, means that can even be chanted when there is the required cessation of the Vedic study. Just like when, how do you say, like the frogs going, a violent storm suddenly comes, you know, or whatever would come, because those things naturally distract the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if one can keep one's concentration, one can still chant those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vedic study must stop them because there must be full concentration on it.
Mm-hmm.
But niyamitas madana nakalaha. There's no rules or regulations for the, for the recitation of the holy name. You know, hearing Bhagavatam and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many, depending on the Veda, they have more or less of these stoppages. I think the Yajur has the most, so like 28 different reasons to stop, like that. Then the others have less.
We have also modern signs.
Such as
when the tape recorder runs out of batteries.
It's just run out?
It's
just about. We got two more verses.
Okay.
For 107, for him who being pure and controlling his organs during a year daily recites the Veda according to the rule, that daily recitation will ever cause sweet and sour milk, clarified butter and honey to flow. So this is what we need for economic development. They just regularly control the senses and recite the Srimad Bhagavatam according to the rule and chanting the Gita. Then sweet and sour milk, clarified butter and honey will always be available. Wow. We should put this out on the email immediately. Let an Aryan who has been initiated Oh, I see. That's the end of that one. Okay, that's the end of here. Oh, no, no, no. No, yeah, this is the next section. We'll stop there. Okay. We'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.